and welcome to the Love Meech podcast. I am your host, Meech. There are a billion people in the world, and I'm just one of them. And welcome to my podcast, where I'll share my thoughts, opinions, and ramblings, and sometimes I'll have guests, and no subject is off limits. So let the conversation begin.
Mimi, go Mimi. It's the Meecha podcast. Hey, go Mimi, go Mimi.
Meech at night.
How many people have you slept with?
Two. It's my wife. He just asked me how many people I slept with. Should I give him a real answer or a fake one? Okay, I'll talk to you later. 15.
How many people have you slept with?
Well.
Okay, which orifices count?
I'm not sure. I think I would have to count.
I don't remember. If you gave me like 10 minutes, I might be able to figure it out.
Do I really have to talk about it?
Do I have to answer?
Can I pass?
Do you want to get like a rap pass?
No, I don't want my boyfriend to see this.
There's a lot of stigmas around, especially for women. People kind of judge you. It's like the fewer people you've slept with, you're like this saint.
How many people have you slept with?
Zero.
None.
Zero.
I haven't slept with anyone.
You're just really rubbing in the fact that I'm a virgin, aren't you?
How many people have you slept with?
One.
One.
Do you wish it was higher than that, or?
Sometimes. Just to have more fun and experience in college.
One. My mom didn't raise me to be a hoe.
Oh wait, what'd you say?
I called you a hoe.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was two once.
Under 10.
Only two.
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 Three people.
Three.
Three.
Three. Just three.
Three.
Only
me? Yeah, told you I'm a good girl.
You want me to lie, you want me to be honest?
Four.
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 I think it's a good number for me.
Five.
Five.
Six.
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 Seven people.
Like seven and a half.
What was that?
Well, I didn't like sleep all the way, but.
Eight or nine.
Eight.
I can't remember.
Because I've tried to forget some of the ones that I have because they were really awful.
Nine.
Nine people.
Nine.
Why did you
hesitate? Cause like my family is gonna watch this.
I'll say 10.
Probably like 10.
Sounds like a lot when you say it out loud, but yes, of 10 people.
10.
What?
10.
Okay, that's not bad. I don't really remember cause when I had sex, I was mainly a teenager. And then when I hit age 16, I kind of went celibate.
Because of college, I'm not sure.
10 or 11 or 12, roughly.
Anywhere from 10 to 15.
Oh, there was that guy who I broke up with on his porch.
I don't know, 12 to 20?
14 at the minimum.
Not saying it's a lot, but it's just, I don't really want to remember some of them.
Probably close to 14. It's a lot more than I thought it would ever be.
I have slept with 14 people. And I do have a list. You guys want to see the list?
Well, I used to keep a journal.
And I do rate them. They have star ratings.
15.
15.
16 now.
More than 10, but less than 20? Yeah, I'm gonna go with that.
Probably like 15. What? It's not that bad.
15.
18.
Under 20.
20?
You know, I had a college boyfriend, so I missed out on a lot of my like slutty years, so I'm catching up now to being slutty.
20? I think it's average.
Between 20 and 30?
Like 25.
I'd say definitely over 25.
30? Consider how old I am, it's okay.
Between 30 and 35.
35. I had sex a lot after high school.
44-ish? I lost track. You don't get to know the number because I don't know the number.
I lost count. Less than 50.
Roughly 40 and 50.
One night stands. Well, I've definitely had over 50.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was really bad. You know, you hit it and quit it, you know?
About 50.
I should say 50.
I actually don't know, but I think it's over 50.
I was a busy ass hoe, I don't know.
I'd say just under 100.
It's probably not over 120.
Over 150.
Probably over 300 or 400.
It's like 3 to 5 dicks a month, times 12 months, times 10, 20 years. I'd say 2,000, I have no idea. 1,500? That's a lot of math though.
So let's look at this. Women race in numbers of lifetime oral partners. So, you know, you meet a gentleman, you meet a lady, and you go down on her. How many times have you done that? Well, when they looked at white women, the average was 43% said if they've had about 1 to 2 partners that they've performed oral on. They've also performed about 27.5% of them said that they've had 3 to 5 partners. When you look at black women, African-American women, 32% of them, almost 33%, have had gone down on nobody. 36.2% of them have had 1 to 2 partners. When we're looking at Mexican-American women, 46.2% of them have had 1 to 2 sexual partners that they've gone down on, and 34.7% of them have had 0 partners that they've gone down on. We're looking at Latino women who are not Mexican. We find that almost 45% of them have had 1 to 2 partners that they've gone down on, and 26.8% of them have had 3 to 5 partners. So, and interestingly enough, when you look at white women, they've had 15.3% have had 6 to 10 partners, which is a much higher group than the rest. And we're looking at this, and it almost suggests that maybe white women are a little more liberal when it comes to some of their sexual practices. But if they're more liberal sexually, then why don't we see those numbers reflected when it comes to HIV transmission, right? That's an interesting topic for you to ponder and to debate. So then we look at men, race, and numbers of lifetime oral partners. Now, when we look at white men, the majority of them have had 1 to 2 oral sex partners. You see that at 28.8%, but almost, you can split that, because 25.3% of them have had 3 to 5 partners, and then almost 21% of them have had more than 10 partners that they've gone down on. When you look at black men, you'll find that theirs are kind of split between 0 and 5 partners, because 1 to 2 partners, 25.8%. 3 to 5 partners, 31.7%. So the majority are in that 3 to 5 partner range. And then 0 partners still at 21.8%. Notice how many white men have had 0 partners that they've gone down on, 7.7%. And then when we look at Mexican-American gentlemen, most of them have had 1 to 2 partners that they've gone down on at 37.7%. And that's kind of, when we look at the 0 partners, it's 26%, and 3 to 5 partners is 21.9%. And looking at Hispanic men, Latino men, who are not Mexican-American, they've kind of split theirs between 1 to 2 partners and 3 to 5 partners. 26.6% in 1 to 2 partners, 25.5% in 3 to 5 partners. And so let's look at the number of lifetime sex partners in general. All right, so now we know the statistics around how many people are really going down and performing oral. Well, let's see how many sex partners that correlates to, right? So white women, on the average, 30.9% have about 3 to 5 partners. On an average, not much difference. When you look at black women, they've 31.8% are having 3 to 5 partners. Mexican American women have 50.6% have 1 to 2 partners. And when you're looking at Latina women that are neither Mexican, that are not Mexican, their numbers are split between 1 to 2 partners and 3 to 5 partners. So over half of the population has 1 to 5 partners. And when you look at the number of partners that white women and black women have had when you look at the white women and black women that have had over 10 partners, they're both right around 19%. 19% of white women and 18.6% of black women. So black women aren't going down on nearly as many, but we've got just as many black women who have more than 10 partners. So, you know, what can you make from this particular type of data? So when you look at men, race, and number of lifetime sex partners. So we've talked about oral. Now we're talking about how many people have you been with sexually in general. When you look at white men, 37.2 have been with more than 10 partners. Black men, 55.3 have had more than 10 partners. Mexican American, 26.6 have had more than 10 partners. And Latino men who are not Mexican have had 47.1% have had more than 10 partners. So it looks like, based off of this particular data, that black men tend to have more sexual partners than the other groups, followed by Latino gentlemen who are not Mexican, then followed by white men, then followed by Mexican American men. Now, when we look at, remember when we were looking at HIV statistics, we find that black men are more likely to contract HIV virus and more likely to have HIV virus. I don't know. Is it related to the fact to the number of sexual partners? Is it related to the fact that we see in African American men they're not as likely to perform in some of the safer sexual practices? More likely to perform actual penis and vagina or penis and anus intercourse. You know, these are all theories, and this is why being a sexologist is so fascinating, is because you can do the research and you can come up with your own theories based off of your own data as to why some of these discrepancies and disparities actually exist. So,
and welcome to another episode of Love Niche Podcast. Hold on one moment. Let me turn the air down. It's just a little bit cold. Clip sound. Did you cringe when you heard of people give off the number of sexual partners they have had? My favorite one was the person was like something in half. Okay, didn't really. I feel her. I feel her on that. My first experience was like that. Very first time was like that. I still count it, you know, but it was like, and did somebody say 15,500? What? And then somebody said more than I thought I would ever have. That was so funny. So if you haven't checked out that YouTube, if you type in The Cut, it'll show all of their videos. I've had a chance to listen to, I'm going to do another podcast on love. So I heard 100 people call somebody and say, I love you. It made me cry. This is 100 people tell how many partners they have. And remember I told you guys, there's good and bad in the world. I'm kind of switching things up a little bit and talking about one of my other favorite topics in the world, which is sex. For those of you that have been listening to my previous podcast, you know that I am currently taking the Dr. Rachel Institute.com sexuality coaching certification course, in which I can take a test to be state board certified. I wanted to do like Bedroom Candy and Pure Romance, but apparently you can't do both of them because they have a contract. So that's fine. I'll just, you know, find two people in those communities, buy from them, you know, help my sisters out, get my products, and, you know, have my little parties and do my little thing. Like, Sex was a taboo topic in my family growing up. We were very Christian. It was pretty much save yourself for marriage. My older sister, who I always call Little Big Mom, was definitely there for me to like say, hey, you know, here's a bag of condoms. I know you're saying that, you know, you don't want to have sex, but when your little hormones get to raging, I want to make sure that you're protected. And when I think back and my little teenage mind, my sister was the bomb. You hear me? She was definitely the bomb. So happy that God had her in my life, because I would have been a lost little soul without her. And now to see, you know, the memories that I have of her as a mom, now to as a sister, as my big sister, now to see her as a mom and see the liberation and freedom that she has with her kids, it just makes me like shed a tear. Like, they don't know how much freedom they have, that they can like talk to their mom and dad about sex. You know, they won't be judged if they want to have sex. I even asked her, like, you know, are you going to get them toys? She's like, well, they share a room right now, but when they have their own rooms, she's open to it. Like, how many of you guys' parents gave you a freaking sex toy? And would that have saved you from running around with some little boy, little girl? You know what I'm saying? Like, your body is going to go through these changes. You're going to want to do these things. I'd rather my child do it on her own, you know, than with someone else. So it's a show called, what is that freaking show called? It'd be like, it have the hormone monster on it. I remember looking at it with my ex. What was the name of that? Oh, Big Mouth. I remember. There's a show called Big Mouth. For any of my younger listeners, check out the show Big Mouth. It will answer a lot of questions about puberty and just your body changing and sexuality. It reminds me of The Simpsons. It reminds me of South Park. It reminds me of American Dad. It's kind of like, you know, the truth in a cartoon, funny, adultish kind of way. It's like a show like that, but they're in middle school and like the girl gets her period, the boy, you know, it's kind of crazy. Like, he had sex with a pillow, had a whole family. He had like a pillow baby. It's hilarious, but you know, it answers those questions for parents who may not be comfortable talking to their kids. Because believe it or not, I had parents like that, you know. It was more of save yourself for marriage. I do remember getting a promise ring. I thought that was very nice, but at that age, I don't think I could commit to that promise. You know, I understood the meaning, but, you know, your body be wanting to do other things. So I commend them on that aspect. And that was them years ago. My parents are 20 years older than me. But my peers have teenies now. My cousin, I just texted her. She's off to college. So it's my parents, me, we're the middle generation. And then our generation has had kids. I haven't. I'm the only one in the family that hasn't had kids yet. And the oldest one is in college. And I just texted my other cousin. Her birthday was today. Happy birthday, Key. And she's going to be off to college as well. So the third generation is off to college and the rest of them are, you know, still a little bit young. And it's like, wow, you know, they still aren't having these conversations with them. And it's kind of scary. So my goal was just to befriend them, to be the one that they can come to if they need advice, if they have questions and they don't know who to ask. I just wanted to have that open policy where, you know, I'm not your parents. You don't have to have that fear, you know, but I am an adult and I can give you that guidance and I do love you and I'm going to steer you in the right way. We're going to have fun. We're going to have a little talks, but, you know, I still have to answer to your mom and I still want what's best for you and I still have to give you that, that motherly advice thinking about your future. When you know you're a teen, you just in the moment. So I'm glad I have that role with the little ones, and I hope that that continues forever. And that's something that my sister offered me, and I want to be able to offer that to the next generation. So my sister had the baton, I got the baton, and one of them gonna pick up the baton. I don't know which one it's gonna be. but one of them's gonna pick up the baton. So did you cringe when you heard the people like saying how many partners they have? Do you know how many partners you have? Would you lie to your partner about how many partners you had? Did you increase the number to make yourself whatever? Did you decrease the number to make yourself whatever? I remember one time, one of my best friends was like, don't tell the real number, lie. You don't need to know. And then I remember hearing either a Jake or Drake, a J. Cole or Drake song was like, gotta multiply that number by two, you know, as if females be lying. I have had between 0 and 100 partners. I'm not gonna say. But I was in a relationship for over 10 years. And when I got out, let's just say I've experienced different zodiac signs and different personalities and different people and different sexual preferences. And, you know, let's just say I know what I like and I know what I don't like. And yeah, but safety first. So on this particular podcast, I wanted to do like kind of like a questionnaire. So I thought this was pretty cool. So I took a couple of, I have all the links, by the way. I have all the links if you want to check it out. So the first one, being honest about your sexual history. Who lies more about the number of sexual partners, women or men? So for women, the increased number of partners was 8.2%. And for men, the increased number of partners was 17.5%. So apparently, men, y'all be out here increasing y'all numbers. Okay. She's going to be able to tell when you get into bed. So you don't even have to lie. The second one was decreased number of partners. Women, 18.6%, and men, 13.7%. So obviously, women feel the need to lie about their partners. Just stereotypical. I guess they don't want to seem promiscuous or hoish or whatever term you want to use. If you've had sex outside of marriage, you know, you've been in them streets. So I hate how people be like, oh, I haven't had that many people, or, you know, she's a hoe, this, that, the other. Like, nobody, last time I checked, nobody was married, and very few people are virgins. So on that clip, when I heard some people said that they hadn't slept with anyone, I was like, oh my God, there's like still virgins in the world. Like, it's just hard, so hard to believe. But, you know, hey, to each their own. The next one is both increase and decrease their numbers. Now, this is a real liar. You increase and decrease the number. How do you even go about that? So 5.8% women and 10.1%. So, man, y'all don't know what y'all want to do. Lie about increase or decrease. And then the last one was have not lied about their number of sexual partners. 67.4% for women. Ding, ding, ding. And 58.6% for men. So there's a lot of people that aren't lying. So that's amazing. Good. Keep it up. Because if you can't even lie, if you can't even be honest about your partners, how I know you're going to be telling the truth about your, you know, freaking STD status? Like, that's a little scary. So the next question is how people feel about their partner's number, sexual sentiment, feelings about the number of partners by gender. The first one is that what number of sexual partners do you think a person becomes too promiscuous? The female said 15.2 and the men said 14. Okay. The next question is, what do you think is the ideal number of sexual partners for a person to have in their lifetime? The female said 7.5, round that up to 8, and the men said 7.6, round that up to 8. So both agree that about 8 partners is the ideal number. Okay, the next one is that what number of sexual partners do you think a person is too sexually conservative? The female said 1.9, we rounded up to 2, and the men said 2.3. So look, if you have 8 or more, you're doing too much, and if you have 2, you're not doing enough. See how people are, like, really? The next one is with how many partners have you engaged and sexual intercourse over your lifetime. So these same people, after asking all those questions, they ask them their individual numbers. And the female said 7 and the men said 6.4. So it's pretty clear that the idea number that they gave is basically the number that they had. You see that? See how that worked out? Oh, okay. So these are numbers by country, sentiment, sexual sentiment, feelings about the number of partners by country. So we're going to just, it's the whole world, but I'm just going to do the United States. At what number of sexual partners do you think a person is too sexually conservative? And the United States said 2. And then what do you think is the ideal number of sexual partners for a person to have in their lifetime? In the United States, it was 7. And at what number of sexual partners do you think a person becomes too promiscuous? And the United States said 15. Now, on this list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, America included, the highest number or the low, let's just do those questions again. At what number of sexual partners do you think a person is too sexually conservative? The lowest number was 1, and that was in Spain. And the highest number was 7, and that's in Austria. So Austria, dang. All right, the next question is, what do you think is the ideal number of sexual partners for a person to have in their lifetime? The lowest number was Netherlands 6, and the highest number was France with 10. And the last question, at what number of sexual partners do you think a person becomes too promiscuous? The lowest number was the Netherlands 11, and the highest number was France at 16. Okay, y'all know. France. Okay, France. I see you on them charts. All right, so the next one is, how far into a relationship should you disclose sexual history? Sexual sentiment, history disclosure, time frame by gender. Within the first month, the females were at 31%. The men were at 33%. Within 1 to 4 months, the females was at 36%. The men was at 35%. 5 to 8 months, the females were at 14%. The men were at 13%. 9 to 12, the females were at 4%. The men were at 4% as well. Over 12 months, the females were at 4%. The men were at 3%. Would not disclose. The females were at 11%, and so were the men. So apparently, between the first and fourth month was the highest for when you should tell. And second place would have been people just wouldn't tell, and then over 12 months was the lowest. So I guess they just don't want to say how many people they've been with, huh? Okay, so it says, looking at the U.S. Average number of sexual partners by state. Okay, so when I first saw this map, it was like, it goes between yellow and blue. So, you know, gold, yellow, you know, you got your little green and ended in blue. And then some of the states was like gray. I'm like, I know Alaska's fucking, it's kids there. So I was like, what's wrong? And then I looked on the map and it was like, this color is insufficient data. Okay, so it looks like, pop quiz, let's see if I can get my states. The highest average state is Louisiana at 16% average number of sexual partners. And it looks like Florida is around 7.2. That's my home state. And Utah is like the lowest. So you got Louisiana in first place, Utah behind, and you got your average. Florida is in that average sector. And again, I have the link so that you can check out your state. The next question is, too many partners, the likelihood of discontinuing a relationship due to someone having too many previous sexual partners. Very likely, 9%. Somewhat likely,
21%, neutral 33%, somewhat unlikely 20%, and very unlikely 17%. So I'm glad to say that it's the highest number is neutral, because just because somebody has a lot of partners isn't, to me, my personal opinion, should not be a deal breaker. What about their STD status? What about how they treat you as a person? What about their life goals? What about how you guys, how much you guys have in common? What about spirituality? I mean, there's other things to look at than just, oh my God, you have been with too many people, or you haven't been with enough people. I think that's what's wrong with the world now. Focus on the wrong thing. Just my personal opinion. So then we have, but again, only 9% will break up, and then 17% wouldn't, and then you had that neutral. So I think more people wouldn't than would. Too few partners, likelihood of discontinuing a relationship due to someone having too few previous sexual partners, very likely 2%, somewhat 6%, neutral 22%, somewhat unlikely 15%, and very unlikely 55%. So see how biased that is? That's that stigma of people like wanting to be with a virgin. Like, all of these statistics that I'm showing are people out here having sex. However, if they have too few partners, your likelihood of discontinuing a relationship is 55%. But if they have too many partners, the likelihood is at 9%. Like, come on. So I just kind of see the injustice there. Like, again, instead of worrying about how many people they have or have not been with, there's other things to consider. But I'm glad they wouldn't break up with them for not having experience, because you should be lucky that, you know, they haven't been in these streets, because statistics show, as you'll hear from Dr. Rachel, of course, the more partners you increase, the more your chances of getting, you know, transmitted diseases. So, sexually transmitted infections, percentage diagnosed with an STI by number of sexual partners. So funny, I just ended with that. 0 to 4 partners, 3%, 5 to 9 partners, 8%, 10 to 14 partners, 8%, 15 or more partners, 13%. So across the world, more than 1 million sexually transmitted infections, STIs, are acquired every day. Engaging in any sort of sexual activity, okay, that could be oral, that could be physical. It's funny that I said that, because the next sentence is, including oral sex can put a person at risk for an STI. And in some cases, these can lead to serious reproductive health consequences. So safety first. Like, it's very, very important. So lastly, I wanted to, because I have some other clips that you guys will be hearing, but I'm vegan, so I wanted to say that there are some vegan condoms out there. No matter if you are engaging in oral sex or physical sex, even in my sexology class, she said you can use condoms on your sex toys, okay? So what I tell you about these condoms, even if you aren't having sex with no one else, just yourself, you can still use condoms. But safe sex is the key. Being open and honest with your partner. Oh, it was something else I was supposed to say. I forgot. It was on my computer. Let me open it back up. I was just about to forget. So this is coming from my class with Dr. Rachel Institute. DrRachelInstitute.com. So she mentions different examples of unsafe sex. There's a total of 8. 1, unprotected sex. We all know that's very unsafe. 2, period sex. We know that's one of the ways that AIDS can be transmitted. 3, drunk sex. Very, very risky. 4, dry sex. 5, unprepared sex. So always have protection in your purse, in your wallet, in your car. You know, you just never know when that moment's gonna appear. Or if it does, you wanna make sure that you're ready regardless. Or stop what you're doing, make a quick stop to your local Walgreens, CVS, and, you know, handle it. during a herpes outbreak, partner sharing, unknown status. So those are 8 unsafe sex habits. Okay. And then we go about 8 safe sex habits. So, of course, protected sex, wetter sex, quicker sex, smarter sex, prepared sex, sober sex, arsenal sex. And in her PowerPoint, she went over different ways to protect yourself. She went over internal condoms, which are for the females. They're called dental dams. She went over external condoms for men. We all know the famous brand is Trojan. She even went over drugs that have been introduced to the community. There's different pills that you can take before having sex with someone with HIV and after having sex with someone with HIV. And I didn't even know about that. I was like, wow. So when she says arsenal sex, just having your toolkit of protection available is safe. And then proven monogamy and known status. Now, when I was researching what sexology class I wanted to take, I knew I wanted to find an African American institute. It's not cheap, you guys, at all. I'm definitely on a payment plan, but I'm thankful that I'm able to take this class. This is something I really want to do. I wanted to make sure I gave back to someone in my community. So when I found her, I was very happy. She even offers counseling all over the world. You just sign up with her. And one thing I like her slogan is saving one family at a time. So although she focuses on, sex being a sexual coach, her reason and her passion, like when you go to these seminars about being billionaires and stuff like that, like I've always been in the business industry. That was my major in school. So I listen to the gurus and everything, but they always say, what is your why? Because when the shit hits the fan, when you really, really want to give up, your why is the only thing that's going to push you forward. So with her why being saving one family at a time, that really hit home for me, because different people go through different things in their lives, and most of it can be sex, and that can make or break a family. You know, it can have effects on a person for years. It can affect, you know, the way they are as a spouse, you know, as a parent, as a everything. It affects their everyday life. So some of the things that she's teaching in the sexuality class is, you know, how to get people to overcome some of their fears and, you know, building that trust and that rapport. Like, it's okay if she doesn't want to give oral, but why? You know, was there something in her childhood that, you know, just trying it on you is going to bring back those memories? So just getting her to overcome that, you know, her, you know, you can be any type of whatever you want to be, but for her to say that she wants to save families, that really touched my heart and my soul. Like, you know, not to empower women so they can go out here and be the most sexist thing they could be, you know, which is fine. But hers, when she said saving one family at a time, you know, not a life coach, not a family coach, not a divorce coach, a sex coach, that really hit home for me, because we all could use a freaking sex coach, to be honest. Not even just about childhood, but just different things that you didn't know. They give you, you know, you just learn by trial and error in life. They give you a little class in elementary, middle, and high school. And, you know, you usually don't go into it anymore in adulthood. You're not taking a college class on that unless that's going to be your major. And Pornhub and all these other sites, you are freaking watching other people enjoy themselves and picking up little hints here and there. But it's not touching on, you know, statistics and facts and being safe and, you know, what's out here. Like, it's sad that 54% of black men, that's half of our men, you guys, will attract AIDS. And based on the statistics, it's most of them that are having sex. You heard her say Black men were in the lead. So we all know that AIDS is man-made. I don't care what anyone says. But if they can make a disease in these labs, you cannot tell me they're not tailoring it to DNA. That's why I don't trust them now. They started with the whole syphilis, the Tuskegee experiments. Now they got this COVID shit going around. I don't trust them. No. I'm not in a lab with you. I don't know what those ingredients are. You can't even give me a regular box of cereals without putting pesticides in them. I know. I don't trust you. Your meat is full of cancer. No, I don't trust you. Like, everything that you do, you're killing me slowly. Because you want me to get a mortgage. You want me to get student loans. You want me to pay all these bills. So you're getting money out of me as you're pushing me towards the grave. Like, no, we got to take our power back. We got to start growing our own food. We got to go back to holistic health. You know, we don't need them. They want us to think that we need them, but we don't. Even gang members get shot and stuff. They ain't trying to go to the hospital. They know somebody in the neighborhood that can get the bullet out and stitch them up. Like, come on, y'all. So, yeah. I just was like, oh, my God. Like, I really loved, like, her why she was, you know, why she, this was her passion. I'm pretty sure there's a story, her story behind that as well. So, let's get on to these vegan condoms. Glide, for many of my vegan friends, this is one of their go-to condom brands, mainly because they have been approved by PETA and the Vegan Society. That means they use natural latex from fair trade sources with no animal testing involved. There are a lot of positive reviews that they feel thin for added pleasure, but you might want to add some lubricant. So the pros were made with natural rubber latex. Uses no irritating substances, ideal for sensitive skin, thin feel for a more pleasurable experience. PETA and Vegan Society approve were the pros, and does not have a lot of lube was a con. Stay natural. These condoms have a lot of positive reviews about the thin feel, which can make your sex life that much more enjoyable. I personally like the fact that the latex they use is from fair trade sources. Not only that, but the company makes significant donations to women's healthcare projects too. One minor downside is the fact that there are not enough sizes available to ensure the most comfortable fit. We know that's important. So ultra thin for more sexual pleasure, made using fair trade latex rubber, free of parabens and fragrances for less irritation. The company supports women's healthcare by donating 10% of profits for the pros. The cons, not enough size variety. We have lifestyle skin. I would agree with a lot of the reviews saying that these condoms feel the most natural. You also won't need to worry about extra lubricants as they seem to provide quite a well-lasting effect. If your body tends to react badly to latex, then these could well be your best option as they use only synthetic rubber. Personally, I found the smell a bit stronger than the above options. Pros, claims to be one of the most natural feeling condoms using long-lasting lubricants, non-latex option based on synthetic ingredients. Many people comment on the comfortable fit. Were the pros? Cons, the condom has a slight rubbery odor. Trojan Supra, non-latex bare skin. Here's another brand that a lot of vegans love. And if you have allergies to latex, then they can really improve your sex life. They feel comfortable and light. I would agree with a lot of the comments that there's barely any smell off them. One thing to keep in mind is that they don't come in great size selections. The pros, very thin design, makes them feel more natural. The latex-free option makes it ideal for those with allergies. Each condom is checked electronically before packaging. A lot of positive feedback that there is a very little odor from them. Cons, more size options would be good. B condoms, I heard about these. B condoms for men that need a larger size option. Comfort is often a problem, but with these B condoms, the extra large option might be just what you're looking for. None of the ingredients are made from toxin substances or GMO products. As a result, you minimize any irritation or allergic reactions. I did notice a few comments online that they didn't seem to have enough lube on them. Pros, extra large size can make them a more comfortable option. uses non-toxic lubricant for a more pleasurable experience. No irritating chemicals like parabens and glycerin as a spermicide. Doesn't have the strong rubber smell that is so common. Calm. Some people found it could use more lubrication. Royale. Who would have thought that organic vegan condoms were actually available? But if you really want to get a product that uses ingredients as intended by nature, then Royale may be your answer. While they are organic, it does seem like they are not as thin as some of the other options. Pros: certified vegan friendly and animal cruelty free condoms, uses only organic products, doesn't include chemicals to reduce allergies and yeast infections. Available in bulk order boxes for a lot of enjoyment. Cons: not the thinnest condom available. Durex, probably one of the leading condom brands in the world. We did think that at least one of their products should be featured on the list. Durex uses synthetic rubber and contains no harmful chemicals, hence the positive reviews about the easy on shape and smell. The reason we placed these condoms so far down the list was that they aren't the most comfortable feeling condoms. Pros: non-latex option based on synthetic rubber. No strong and distracting smells. Positive reviews about comfortable fit and easy on shape. Vegan friendly option for one of the leading condom companies. Cons: not the most natural feeling. And since a lot of those condoms was talking about lubricant, let's throw in a vegan lubricant. Vegan lubricant recommendation: there's absolutely no shame in it. And if that makes things a bit more fun, then you just need to make sure you get the right stuff. With a name like Good Clean Love, we simply couldn't resist trying it out and ultimately giving it 2 thumbs up. It's effective, it doesn't smell bad, it's organic, and has an added bonus that there's no chemicals in sight, making it not only vegan friendly, but also vagina friendly. I thought that was so cute. I hope you guys love this episode of Meesh at Nye. How many partners have you had? That video at the beginning was hilarious. Like, have you talked to your homegirls about how many partners they have? Have you talked to your homeboys about how many partners have they had? Have you talked to your parents about how many partners they have? Do we talk about this stuff? I just thought it was so interesting. I'm also going to have more episodes of Meesh at Nye as I'm taking this class. One of my favorite people to watch is, Jessie Wu. She is Haitian and she's so funny. She'll say, my sister. She did an interview with her mom asking about her dad. Hello. I so want to do that with my mom and dad, but I don't think my mom would answer those questions. It's so funny. So I think I'm just going to do her clip and then give my comment. And I'm also going to be talking about relationships and stuff and just different things that universe is bringing to me that I'm so excited to share. You know me, sharing is caring. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. If no one has told you today they love you, let me be the first. I love you. I hope you have a better than great day. Stay sexually safe out there. Catch you in the next episode. Have a good day. Bye. Hey, love, and welcome to the Love Meesh podcast. I am your host, Meesh. There are a billion people in the world, and I'm just one of them. And welcome to my podcast, where I share my thoughts, opinions, and ramblings, and sometimes I'll have guests, and no subject is off limits. So let the conversation begin.
Mimi, go Mimi. It's the Meesha podcast. Hey, go Mimi, go Mimi.
Thanks a billion for listening. You can reach me on other social media platforms at www.linktr.ee/luv.meesh. I hope you have a better than great day. Love ya. Talk to you later. Mwah. Bye.
Go Mimi. It's the Meesha podcast. Hey. Go Mimi. Go Mimi.